The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I didn't think this could happen, but apparently it does. You know dogs can get neurotic? I didn't realize this. We got a couple dogs, and I'm trying to figure out what the precipitating event was for my dog not being himself. And he's a big Rottweiler, and you figure, you know, big dogs are kind of pretty cool because they control the landscape. No, he's kind of curled up, but I figured out what it was. The dog food that we buy, when you got two big dogs, you buy it in usually one-ton allotments. It went up a dollar. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but in dog money, that's $7. I'm on top of it. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, the program The Doctor Is In. Filling in today, Dan McGraw there, producer man for Andrew Krutchek and Eric Dumont. If you call 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program. To why? Well, that's up to you. Ask questions about circumstances in your life, comments to help other people. Generic questions. Sometimes we get people that don't understand some aspect of psychology or development or intellect or pathology or personality disorders. They ask about that and sometimes how that intersects with the faith. I think those are great questions. You know, if you have more faith, can you be less depressed? How does that work, Dr. Ray? Kind of thing. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. That's my profession. On the radio is pure education. Just give thoughts and ideas and just general, I think it's erudite, but, or somebody once said to me in email, erudite, so that's good. 877-573-7825. I am not the only one. Well, my dog is not the only one, but I too have just been recently diagnosed. AAADD. Age activated attention deficit disorder. I know I got it. Here's what happened yesterday. I decided to clean the car. So I head for the garage. And I noticed that the mail is sitting on the table. Okay, I'm going to work in the car, but I got to go through the mail. So I lay my car keys down on the table there after discarding the junk mail. I noticed that the trash can's full because I'm dumping the mail in there. So I'll put the bills on the desk. Now I got to take the trash out, but since I'm going to be near the mailbox, I'll address a few bills. Now where's my checkbook? Ah, shoot, there's only one check left. Where'd I put those extra checks? Okay, there's that empty cup from last night on the table. I got to look for the checks. But first I got to put the cup back in the kitchen, so I head for the kitchen, look out the window, and I notice the flowers are drooping. So I put water in the cup on the counter. And there's my extra pair of reading glasses. I've been looking for those things forever. But wait a minute, I got to water the plants. Head for the door. What is the TV remote doing sitting there? All right, I got to put the remote away. Now I got to water the plants. But wait, first I got to find the checks because I'm going to do those bills. At the end of yesterday, the car was not cleaned, the bills were not paid, the cup was still in the sink, the checkbook had only one check left, I lost my car keys, and when I try to figure out how come I didn't do anything yesterday, I don't get it because I know I was busy all day. Do you remember, now this is for you older folk, do you remember where you were when you heard that John Kennedy was shot. Now, I remember where I was. My mother's womb. Okay, not quite. And Teresa Tomeo, she just graduated from college. Now, for those of you younger, you're thinking, ah, wait a minute, you're talking before my time, Roy Ganuti. Okay. How about the shuttle disaster? Remember with Krista McAuliffe? This was probably, I don't remember when it was. Somewhere in the 90s, was it? Early 90s, maybe late 80s? Time slips away. You remember where you were when you first heard about it or you first saw it? Of course you do. Flashbulb memories, that's what the shrinks call it. Seared into your brain. Yes. Oh, John, that's definitely a great question. I'm looking forward to that one. Seared into your brain. You will never forget where you were when you heard that, right? Absolutely. You're sure of it, aren't you? I'm sure of it. For my continuing education, for my career, we have to take courses. We have to take about 22, 23 hours of continuing education courses per biennium. And one of the courses I'm fascinated with is memory. Like memory, it's a fascinating thing. How does memory work? I will never forget. Oh, yes, I will, because that's my point I'm going to make. I remember during this particular course, the presenter said, this is one of the most fascinating studies I've ever heard about us. A particular prof type asked his students, I guess the day after the shuttle disaster, please write down where you were when you heard about this. So they all just wrote down, absolutely, that was last night, it was yesterday, I got it, no problem. All wrote down where they were, he collected them up, and he kept them. I forget how long, I don't remember exactly, somewhere along the lines of 10 years or something along those lines. Then he attempted to get back in contact with them, and obviously just he could only get in contact with a percentage of them, but hopefully it was a significant percentage of them. And he said he's doing some follow-up research. He you know, when you're going to be, if you're a psychology professor, you're tricky, and you never really kind of explain the purpose of your experiment. And he said he was doing some research on something or other. And do you remember where you were? The shuttle disaster. Oh, yeah, of course. They all wrote it in. No question. Then he asked, how sure are you that that's exactly where you were and what you were doing? Oh, everybody was absolutely certain. No question. How do you forget something like that? Well, I just got a note here. Challenger was 1985. Thank you. Thank you, text person. It's great to have a wire service across the country like that. Of course, that one is from up in the Cleveland area. This is the most fascinating part of the study. I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was significant, all right? Who said, I remember exactly where I was for certain? And when he compared the two, the memory that was written the next day and the memory that was written many years later. Oops. Oops. They missed it. They had themselves somewhere else, doing something else. How can that be? Well, one of the best interpretations I've heard of that, of course, is by memory researchers. They postulate that we remember the memory. Not necessarily remember the incident, we remember the memory. They likened it to painting a coat of paint over another coat of paint. So over time, what tends to happen, and this really shook me up because now I'm not so sure about some of those memories that I thought I was so sure about. Over time, the memory gets altered. It shifts almost like the painting in your living room gets shifted as you add more coats to it. And these students, and I know it wasn't the majority, but it was a significant minority, totally missed it. They were so sure. They knew exactly where they were and what was happening when they first heard. And they had themselves, many years later, remembering something quite different. And that shook me up because I always trusted my memory. And I've noticed that, I'll take the break here and get to the calls. By the way, it's all guys up there. That rarely happens. The ladies not like me? What's going on here? Ladies got to call and break this up here. I'm feeling like my college days when no women ever called me. So given this, what I've kind of entertained, and I've noticed it, I'll say something about a memory and my wife will say, no, that's not where it was, Ray, or that's not when it was, Ray. Now, I trust her more than I trust me. So I'm thinking, how did I shift this over time? How did I miss this? Now, the possibility always exists that maybe her memory got shifted. But I ain't going to say that. I'll say, no, it was my memory that got shifted. I'll give you an example. She remembers the exact date that we got married. Yeah. I thought I remembered it. She tells me every year, this was the date. Thank you. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete. The deal clincher is we found our way to our parish, and we met just an incredible pastor. We learned things that we'd never been taught. Wouldn't be the person that I am without the church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Well, because of COVID constrictions, we've been forced to get creative. We are going to tape some episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show on EWTN, on November 30th. But they're going to be virtual, which means you can be part of the audience. We're going to have three monitors up in the studio. I'll be in the studio. I can talk to you, and you can talk to me. You can talk to the guests. They can talk to you. This will be great. Now, we're going to do it on November 30th. The times that you have as options are 1:30, 4, and 6:30, November 30th. You go to drray.com/virtual today, because the numbers are going up fast. We'd love to have you. We got a limit of 60. drray.com/virtual to reserve your spot. We'll send you the information. Hope to see you. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. God exists because mathematics is consistent. The devil exists because we can't prove it. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thanks for joining me here. Good to have you. I will do my very best to get to everyone there, so please don't leave me. John from Maryland. Hello, John.
Dr. Ray, how are you today?
I'm good, sir.
Dr. Ray, how are you?
Yourself?
I'm doing well. Any better, I'd be twins.
Hey, no. Any better, you'd be me.
You're probably right.
And I were doing any better, I would be a male version of my wife. That's it. So you're asking a question that has a very definite answer, John.
Okay.
You ask it.
in my ministry, I'm exposed to quite a few people, and I am noticing a hypersensitivity to anything political. It borders on the people starting to cry when, you know, certain things are said or mentioned. And it's led me to wonder if you've seen an increase in the number of people who are on antidepressant drugs.
It has exploded. That is not just my opinion and experience. There are surveys that have indicated that the prescribing of antidepressant drugs has just erupted. And also anxiolytics. Anti-anxiety drug. An anxiolytic is something that creates anxiety. And the anti-anxiety drugs have also exploded. Yes, you're witnessing, John, a level of distress that has been brought on mentally and emotionally by the approach to all of this. There's no question about it. And more doctors are lifting, they're picking their heads up and they're saying, we got to consider this. But here's the other thing. What you see with the violent, nearly violent hostility toward those who think something differently than yourself is frightening to me. I've never seen anything like it in all my years. friends and relatives, you can't even carry on any kind of reasonable discourse. Because if you say something they don't agree with, and my experience has been the people who get most attacked are those who have a traditional moral view, they get quite nasty. It's not even a matter of, I don't agree with what you're saying, here's why I think what I think. It's a matter of, you're vile for thinking it. You're awful for thinking it. You hate people for thinking it. I've never seen anything like it. It's incredible. And it's frightening because it can destroy the normal, reasonable glue that holds people together. Yeah, John, I'm with you all the way on this one. More than I ever expected to see. You know, and typically, and again, it's not, go ahead, please.
When I talk to people on this subject, I recommend that they stop watching the news. I find that's a major catalyst of these reactions.
I saw a meme the other day. Now, please, I'm not making a comment on the accuracy of it, but I think it is going along with what you say. Showed a person talking to somebody that's a conservative Amish who essentially lives according to no electricity. And the person, it was a reporter, asking, why have you not had outbreaks of COVID in the Amish community? And the Amish individual answered, because we don't have TV. Now, granted, somebody's going to say, okay, wait a minute, Dr. Ray, come on. COVID's real. Yes, it is real. But the profile of it has been just fired up from the media. There's no question. Nothing else could explain so many people still hunkering down in their houses afraid to come out. And there's millions of them. Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. Appreciate it very much. Matt from Washington, D.C. I believe that's the WMET area. Just recorded something for him. Age activated. ADD is real. He says, squirrel. Hi, Matt.
Yes. I enjoyed your joking about this age-activated ADD, but I just want to know, is it a real thing?
Well, if you listen to the researchers, they will say there's a book written called Distracting Ourselves to Death. And they will tell you that we live in a culture that is very distractible. What's coming at us? And the pace that it's coming at us through media, through basically life itself, it is not a slow pace. And it is not, you know, if you were on a farm in 1880 in Illinois, downstate Illinois, the input in your life would for the most part be from the people around you. There wouldn't be any media coming at you. There wouldn't be really a whole lot of technology. And you're right. It was a more quietly thinking, settled time. Now, I'm not saying we go back to that. I'm just simply saying this is indeed a byproduct. There's no question. There have been studies on it that people are much more short attention span. All the advertisers will tell you that. Oh, you got to keep it down to a soundbite. You got to keep it down to 4 seconds. You can't go much beyond 2 minutes if you're going to get somebody to watch you. Oh, there's no question about this, Matt. You are on to something that is now a cultural trait. It is there. It's pervasive. And a lot of the psychologists have looked at it and said, how much is this affecting our children who are then getting diagnosed for having short attention spans? And these are kids who spending hours and hours and hours in the video world. And then when they're asked to sit down at a desk, back when they could go to school, when they're asked to sit down to a desk and think and ponder and pay attention and reason, wait a minute, this ain't what I'm used to. So, good point, Matt. Thanks for letting me ramble on. I appreciate it, buddy. Anything else you want to ask?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I was looking at my Twitter.
Good one. Well, who are you
Have
again?
A great day.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the call, man.
It's Mark.
I'll see you. All right, bye. All right, I got to go to the woman here because I made her wait. And the reason I made her wait is because she represents two of the girls who called me in college and made me wait when I went to talk to them. And they said, yeah, just a minute, Roy. I said, it's Ray. Okay, well, anyway, Roy, I said, it's Ray. I'll be right back. I'm just going to put you down here for a second, because back in those days, you couldn't put somebody on hold. You just put the phone down. That was our idea of hold. The way it was when I was a boy, and we were happy children. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
You know, my dear.
I love this your show.
Bless you. This is one of the questions that I dealt with from grandparents in my book, Being a Grandparent, just Like Being a Parent, Only Different, which is when you notice that your adult child is struggling with their child, do you say anything? Do you step in, right?
Well, I have, you know, my daughter has a control issue I concern, and I think it's affected my granddaughter. So my granddaughter, in getting back at her mother, is not nice to her, you know? And so I said to my daughter, oh, you need to lighten up. At one point, she shared a bedroom, the granddaughter, with her sister. When she finally got her own bedroom, my granddaughter complained to me. She's coming in and rearranging my clothes and doing stuff, you know? So she's never had her own. I said, let her have her room. Let her show her personality. If you don't like it, shut the door.
How did your daughter take your suggestions?
Not well.
No, get out of here. Well. I never would have guessed that. Oh, that's a shocker.
You know, when I see both sides of it. You know, my daughter is controlling. She needs to lighten up. My granddaughter needs to be nice to her mother. But my granddaughter knows that by not being nice to her mother, and she can get away with it. Now, the one time I said to her, you need to be nice to your mom. Be nicer. Things will be so much better and easier. Well, you know, she doesn't want to. And she says, well, I would never talk to my dad that way. Because, no, your dad would not accept it. You know, so here I am caught in the middle. Because when I go to their house, and I go there every Tuesday, it's Grandma's Day. And I see this, and Tuesday, you know, she was being her little obstinate self. Whatever my daughter says, if she says black, she says white. Do you want to do this? Do you want that? No. You know, I mean, everything is, and it just drives me crazy, because if I know if I say, hey, you need to be nice to your mom, stop this, then she's mad at me. And if I, you know.
Well, you're just getting it from everybody, Marianne. You are. I tell you what, I'm listening to you. They may not listen to you. Either one of them listen to you, but I'm listening to you, dear.
My blood pressure has gone up.
Well, all right. You stay right there. We'll see if we can get your blood pressure back down. Mine's gone up, but I get a break, so it'll come down. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. Delighted to have you with me. You will get Eric Dumont. He'll be very empathic. Very empathic. I'm Dr. Ray. Appreciate the calls.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God. But I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the President of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence, and in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Call to communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Grandy. The number, 877-573-7825. Talking to Mary Ann from Indiana. She is a grandparent. And she's noticed, and in her opinion, that her daughter, grown daughter with a child, is too controlling. That's the word she's using. And she extrapolated from that and said the reason that her granddaughter is disrespectful is because mom is too controlling. But then, as Marianne kind of fleshed out the picture, she said, well, maybe that's not all of it, because the daughter can be kind of nasty toward her mother, and she won't do that toward her father. And then Marianne said, because you won't get away with it. And Marianne says, well, I've told mom not to be so controlling, and I've told my granddaughter don't be so nasty. And, of course, both of them said, thank you so very much, Grandma. I really appreciate your input, and that just helped me so much. Hi, Mary Ann. You still there?
I am here, Dr. Ray. Yesterday I was there, and like I said, the granddaughter is doing stuff, and finally I thought, oh, I should have called yesterday. Anyways, I just said to her, stop being that way. And so she got mad at me, went up to her room, and that was that. Because I was telling her to stop it, you know? So well, that means I was taking her mother's side. Hang out with mom then.
Well, you probably should, all things considered, take her mother's side. Okay. So the first thing the first lesson here is you've realized don't say anything unless they ask. Your granddaughter is not going to ask because she's a child. Your daughter probably will only ask if she gets completely frustrated and then says, I need help from somebody. Maybe I'll even ask mom. But short of that, you can't say a word. Number two, I'm really reluctant to conclude that your granddaughter is snotty with her mother because her mother is, quote unquote, controlling. The fact that mom goes in there and arranges her bedroom, and the kid says, I like it my way. Why do you have to have it your way? And therefore, the kid's going to be snotty. I don't think that's the main cause at all. I suspect that mom struggles with discipline. And whatever you call controlling, she does. But she also probably lets the granddaughter get away with stuff. And so, therefore,
Okay, yeah, I heard that true there. So therefore, those discipline issues are going to be there unless mom changes her style. When you're there, you can't say anything. If mom's gonna let the daughter talk to her that way, and then you step in and say you don't talk to your mother that way. If your daughter says, "Well, thank you, Mom. I didn't need the backup. I appreciate it so much. Thank you." I got a feeling that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Then really, you've got the signals. The signals are just be the Sphinx. Just sit there and let the dynamic unfold between the daughter and the granddaughter. Now, one other thing. If your daughter complains to you about her daughter, then you have an opening. You could say something like, so she frustrates you? Oh, she frustrates me terribly. And then you can say
exactly what she said.
Okay. How do I know these things? Am I brilliant about this or what?
Dr. Ray, you are brilliant.
Bless you. Make sure you flag that one. Use it in future shows. Dr. Ray, you are brilliant. I like that. Actually, the fact is I'm not brilliant. The fact is I've just seen this 62 million times. When she says she's frustrated, you ask her, what would you want to do about it discipline-wise? There's what you do. What would you want to do about it discipline-wise? I've tried everything with her. Mm-hmm. Nothing stops her. Well, what if you just picked one thing? And that's going to be your discipline anytime she gets snotty. That's what you're going to do. What about that? In other words, you're not telling her how to do it because you already see she resists that as a mother. You're saying, mm-hmm. okay, if you're frustrated, what would you like to do about this? Marianne, bless you, dear, and I thank you so much for your sweet call. And I do thank you
for the advice.
I knew if I kept you on here long enough, I mean, I had to. I had to keep you on here longer than I thought I would for you to say, Dr. Ray, you're brilliant. I would hope you would have just said it on your own. I had to grovel. Okay.
I love your show. I listen to you every day. You are wonderful.
Every day. Hey, I don't listen to me every day, okay? I don't know how you can take it.
I make a point. Because you really have good advice. I mean, when I heard the one about respect, man, that went like, whoa. And you said your wife made the daughter do an hour's work of work.
Just because she rolled her eyes. Just because she rolled her eyes.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you don't roll your eyes at your mom. That's your mom. For heaven's sake. Yikes. Right. All righty, sweetie. Thank you for the call.
And I think you're true. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All righty. Call again. I'm Dr. Ray. I'm going to have to break on this if I go to Joseph from Michigan because we're not going to get it in. We've got a minute and a half before the break comes. Joseph, this is Dr. Ray. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Washington State, actually. But you are
wait,
brilliant.
Wait a minute.
Dr.
Hold
Ray.
On
what
a second.
Say?
Oh, I talked over you, which is sometimes I do, and I missed it. And see, we can't use that you are brilliant, Dr. Ray, because my big mouth was on top of you. But I was just going to say, Eric, you're fired. You missed the state by half a continent because he had you from Michigan. Yeah.
Well, the only thing you dropped the ball on, Dr. Ray, was my personal email. I mean, I emailed you, and I never got that email. I thought you read them all and responded to all of them.
Joseph, wait a minute. How long ago did you send it?
Oh, this is about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, here's what happened. We had a major problem. I told the lady who handles my website, I said, I'm not getting any emails, and I don't get this. And we went and found out that for 2 to 3 weeks, they just disappeared. So if yours was one of them, Joseph, I am so sorry.
Mine was long and boring, so you didn't miss much. Well, I wanted to say, though, actually, I was calling because the August 12th show with Anthony, I got a comment from my brother in Christ there in Colorado, who sounds like he's got a lot in common with me and, you know, might benefit from a 12-step for sexaholism. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that because that was the one thing I didn't hear in your answer to him was maybe to check that out, and I found it to be a second chance at life for me. So I wanted to kind of hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. I'm much more familiar with the 12-step program for Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not as intimately familiar with the Sexaholics Anonymous programs. I imagine they have been mirrored on the AA programs, right, Joseph?
Oh, yeah, they're based on the exact same principles. In fact, we read the big book, the 12-step literature from AA, at our meetings all the time. So same principles, and they work great.
Stay right there, and we'll pick this up, because I knew the break was gonna cut us off. You stay right there, Joseph. 877-573-7825. As always, remember, you call later in the show doesn't mean you're not going to get on. We select calls on the basis of a lot of variables, and you don't have to say, well, I didn't call at the top of the show, therefore, not going to get to me. Nope, that's not the way it works.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
How does man fulfill his vocation? Through life in the Holy Spirit, the Catechism tells us. This life is made up of divine charity and human solidarity and is offered as salvation. Man's great dignity is rooted in his creation in the image and likeness of God. It is fulfilled in his vocation to divine beatitude. It is by our own actions, doing good and avoiding evil, freely chosen acts, that man conforms to the good promised by God. Human beings make their own contribution to their own interior growth, the Catechism tells us. With the help of grace, man can avoid sin and grow in virtue. It is Christ who reveals the mystery of the Father and his love for man, thus making man fully manifest to himself and bringing to light his exalted vocation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Thanks for joining me here, Dr. Ray Grandy, 877-573-7825. My wife took me to the dentist's office yesterday. We were there, and my wife said, I need a tooth pulled right away. Don't bother with the Novocaine. It's expensive, and we are in a hurry. The dentist asked her, which tooth do you want pulled? My wife turned to me and said, go ahead, Ray. Show him your tooth. Okay, I'm talking to Joseph from Washington, still up there, Michigan. And he was asking about, because for him, very successful was Sexaholics Anonymous 12-step programs, based upon, very closely, paralleling Alcoholics Anonymous, the granddaddy of the 12-step self-help programs. I can say this, Joseph, I'm not familiar with actual studies of folks who have gone through the 12-step programs that you're talking about, program you're talking about, and compared to those who were a control group, in other words, people with the same type of problems and controlled for many other variables, and to see who did better. Maybe they're out there. I'm not familiar with them. But for whatever the reason, the support offered by a 12-step program, the 12-step programs were the alcoholic one was begun here in Akron, Ohio, by a couple of doctors, I think, who were Catholic. And that was their baby. That's what they started. So I didn't mention it because I probably just ran out of time. You know, there's so many ways you could mention therapeutic interventions. And for people like yourself, who's been very successful for you, I could see why you'd say, hey, that mention that one first. That's a good one. But you're right. Those kind of self-help programs have shown themselves to be effective for a lot of folk. There you go.
You know, and I'll tell you, as far as it being a self-help program, it's much more of a God-help program. It's really all about connecting up with a higher power. And that, for me, of course, I'm a Catholic man, so that's God. And now I've got a better relationship than I did before. I realized it was more about me doing things my way. And, you know, now I've got to look for God's way.
That seems
to work.
Sure. Some people would say that the idea of a higher power is a little too amorphous. It's a little too, fuzzy. Because, you know, what does that mean, higher power kind of thing? For Catholics, we believe, yes, in a higher power who has revealed himself to us through Christ. So it's much more definitive. But I could see it would be maybe a first step for some folks on their way back to belief. I could see that. Thank you, my friend. Joseph, I appreciate it so much, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, sir.
Bye-bye.
Tony from Sioux City. I get real nervous going to Sioux City. I'm just looking around for lawyers everywhere, and I'm afraid of doing something for fear I'm going to get some kind of legal brief thrown at me. Now, interestingly enough, I'll make a comment before I go to Tony. I respect my audience, and I respect the way they think, and I'll give you one indication of this. When you watch secular media, the vast majority of the time, when an interviewer asks somebody a question, it is phrased like, well, can you give me your feelings on, well, how do you feel about that? So, how is that making you feel? My audience typically says, wanted your thoughts, wanted your opinion, wanted your impressions. And that's exactly what Tony said here. He said, I want your thoughts on the extreme divisions in our society with differing viewpoints. And the second part of the question is, do I think we'll ever relearn some kind of tolerance of thought? Hi, Tony.
Yeah, hi, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call. This actually really struck me recently here. I was just thinking, man alive, there really is a lot of upset, a lot of anger regarding political events, news events and or just ideas and things like that. I'm thinking I would never begrudge somebody who's, you know, right to disagree with something. That's perfectly good and fine. I'm just thinking, is there a way out of this? Do you see it? I started, you know, didn't want to give in to despair or anything, but I started getting a little worried thinking, is this really kind of the way it's going to be just about from now until the end of time, or do you foresee any kind of thing happening within society or certain groups that maybe, I don't know, might start to mitigate this a little bit, to soften this, or do you think it's, you know, a bit of a negative outlook and people have to maybe just kind of stay peaceful, stay humble, and sometimes stay out of it? I didn't really know what the strategy should be.
There was a survey done relatively recently, and they asked folks, are you afraid to give your opinion? Something like 62% of the people surveyed said yes. Of the people who held to traditional moral beliefs or would be considered politically conservative, it was 77%. They said they typically were nervous about giving their opinion and kept those thoughts to themselves. Now, I have heard it said that from both sides of the political spectrum, from both sides of the moral perspective, it's equal. Religious folks, conservative, right, however you define that, versus less religious, left, progressive folks, they do it equally. That's not been my experience at all. Not at all. My experience has been that those folks who tend to have more of a religious bent to them are not as quick to attack, which is ironic because that's the reputation they have, that religious people are judgmental, they are intolerant, they are extreme. That's been the profile that's been painted. My experience as a psychologist with people who come to my office and just from observing things in general is that those who believe there is an absolute way to think, and that way to think is the dominant narrative now in our culture. If you go against that, well, you're not just disagreeing, you're vile. You're not to be tolerated, and you are to be shut up. I've experienced that myself. Oh, my gosh. When I have said things that are just reasonable perspective backed up by information that's out there, data, not stuff that comes from selective news sites, just data. Oh, my. The response has not been, I disagree with you, and here's why. The response has been, this is why you're dumb. This is why you're stupid. This is why you shouldn't be talking. Yes, I think it's a phenomenon that's really exploded. Some people will say it's the result of our president because he pretty much says a lot of stuff. So therefore, he provokes that. But interestingly enough, what I've experienced is in the previous administration with President Barack Obama, I didn't agree with an enormous amount of his policies and his views on things. I never, ever attacked him personally, and I didn't experience anywhere near other people attacking him personally. I didn't agree with him, but they didn't attack his personhood, his right to think. So I've noticed that only in the last 4 years, and it's been a dramatic increase. Do I think it's going to return to civility? I guess I'd have to say yes, at one level, if the power structures in our culture are more toward the left side of the political moral perspective, yes, there will be less strident attacks. No, in the sense that the more we get rid of God, and by the way, COVID has done an unbelievable job of getting rid of God. Nothing like anything I've ever seen. It has destroyed church attendance, which I don't think will ever recover. So no, I think that as we got rid of God, we also got rid of an awful lot of tolerance in the name of charity. Tony, good stuff. Thank you for letting me pontificate, to use the word. This is Dr. Ray.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Well, because of COVID constrictions, we've been forced to get creative. We are going to tape some episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show on EWTN, on November 30th. But they're going to be virtual, which means you can be part of the audience. We're going to have three monitors up in the studio. I'll be in the studio. I can talk to you, and you can talk to me. You can talk to the guests. They can talk to you. This will be great. Now, we're going to do it on November 30th. The times that you have as options are 1:30, 4, and 6:30, November 30th. You go to drray.com/
virtual today, because the numbers are going up fast. We'd love to have you. We got a limit of 60. Dr. Ray, DRRAY.com/virtual to reserve your spot. We'll send you the information. Hope to see you. I sure hope they let us trick-or-treat. Oh, man, you take away Halloween, taking away Americana. I'm getting very good at getting free candy, too. I just have this look. I tell them I'm a 10-year-old boy going as this aging psychologist. Michael from Texas came back to the church, and he says he'd like to raise his children Catholic. Michael, is this raising your children Catholic who exists now or in the future?
This is in the future.
Okay.
Like I said, I recently just came back to the church, and I have a fiance, and she doesn't like the idea. We're in separate rooms now, but I want to raise my kids Catholic, but she has this thing that she doesn't understand the Catholic Church, and I said, well, come with me to the RCIA, which is right now with our church. It's online as a refresher for myself, but for her to understand what the Catholic faith is about and what we believe in and so forth. But she wants to go ahead and say, no, the boys will make their own decision. And I said, well, baptism is very, very important. They need to get baptized now. And she's like, nope. And I've talked to her about that on several different occasions, how important that is. And she's like, nope, they can make that decision themselves. So I'm kind of stuck in between the hard spot, and I've been praying about it and hoping that she will come around.
Doesn't sound like it. She's not passively resistant. It sounds like she's rejecting it. I want no part of this. If you continue to grow in your faith and believe what the church teaches, do you think that you will continue to have more difficulty getting along with her?
I don't think so. Our relationship's pretty strong. She believes in God. She believes in the Holy Spirit. She believes in Jesus and everything, but she just does not agree with the church itself because she doesn't understand it.
How important is the church to you?
It's extremely important to me because I was raised as a teenager as a Catholic, and of course by my adopted parents, and I left, and every church I went to was always there was always something missing. And when I came back to the church, basically 2 weeks ago, I found what was missing. And that was the gathering of the people.
Okay, I'm going to have to hurry you along here, Michael. You only got about a minute left. Do you have a date for marriage?
Not yet.
Well, maybe you would be wise to continue in this relationship and see where it goes. Because as you become more Catholic, if you will, in that sense, she may become more resistant. She may not like the new you. And the new you is different from the guy that she first met. Radically so. And if she refuses, if she says, I'm not going to raise the kids Catholic, not going to happen, That's kind of a problem for marriage within the church. It really is. It's something you're going to have to discuss with the priest. But I think what you may experience is that she will look at your Catholic faith and not go to church with you, not want to baptize the kids, not want to take the kids to church, unless she has a wholesale open-mindedness to look into this. To the degree she doesn't, then it's reasonable to expect that you guys are going to have some real disagreements about all this, and they may just get larger as time passes. Good luck, my friend.
Okay.
This is Dr. Ray. I appreciate so much the company. Closing the last 30 seconds here, so I got
I got to shut it down. I appreciate what you've done over there in Dan McGraw and Eric Dumont taking care of things. Anything else to say? Not a whole lot. I appreciate all the company on Facebook. Try to put up stuff there periodically. I really don't put up the pizza that I ate yesterday. That's a little too over the topping for me. Okay, the music's starting here in about 6 seconds. So I'll just pause for a moment. There it is. Walk with God. That's the walk. It's the only one that in the end is going to matter.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.